Would you pray with me?
Loving and holy God, we listen to the account of Jesus in the synagogue, and oh, we wish that he were here to talk to us. But he is, through those very words that we just heard. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would give us wisdom and understanding. We pray that you would give us insights and help us to appropriate what we've heard for our own lives. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. An office manager was complaining in their staff meeting that he wasn't getting any respect. The next day, he attached a small sign to his office door, and it said, "I am the boss." And later that day, he returned from lunch to find that somebody had taped a note over his sign, and it read, "Your wife called. She wants her sign back." Authority is something that we all crave. We all want. But at times we feel, "I have no authority." Or perhaps we feel, "I'll never get it." Authority, we believe, and we want it because we believe it gives power. If you have authority, you have power. Jesus had authority, and he had the power to call out that unclean spirit. When we have authority, people will follow us. They will do what we want. They will vote for us. Isn't that what all of these political debates are about? People trying to establish their authority so that they can get elected and have the power to run the country? To gain this authority, they seek to show that the other person, the other candidates, don't have the right answers. The other person says one thing and does another, so you can't count on them. They have no authority. Or they flip-flop and therefore have no authority. It's a big concern in political circles, but it's also a big concern in religious circles as well. There are those who say that if you don't believe that every story in the Bible is true as it is written, then the Bible has no authority for you. And if the Bible is seen as not having authority for you, then you are not a Christian. And one of the questions, if you remember, that we asked ordained people, those being ordained to office a few weeks ago, do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? So authority is a very important characteristic in the church and to the believers. In our gospel reading today, we hear of the importance of authority. And more specifically, the authority of Jesus as opposed to that of the scribes. Jesus entered the synagogue, taught. And they were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, little lesson of ancient Judaism. Scribes in ancient Israel, as in most of the ancient world, were distinguished professionals who could exercise functions we would associate with lawyers, government ministers, judges, or even financiers. Some scribes copied documents, but that was not necessarily part of their job. Pretty important people. And here Jesus is being compared to them, and he has authority and they don't. Or at least it's not the same kind of authority. They were comparing, and we wonder, where did they get this sense of Jesus' authority? Because this is before he called out the unclean spirit. Well, maybe they'd heard about him, the things that he was doing around the countryside. And they were comparing what they were hearing him say as he taught them with what they had heard about him. Or maybe he was talking to them in such a way that He got past the laws and touched their lives. He made the stories of the scriptures grab onto them so that they could understand them for their own personal lives. He didn't say, you got to do this and you got to do that. The laws of the faith at the time. In sophisticated examinations of authority, William Onken Jr. in a 1970 Colorado Institute of Technology journal gives an analysis of authority. And he suggests that it's comprised of four elements. The authority of competence. The more competent the other person knows you are, the more confident he will be that you know what you are talking about, and the more likely he will be to follow your orders, requests, or suggestions. We've all known competent people, and we've given them authority for that. The authority of position. The component gives you the right to tell someone, do it or else. It has teeth. The boss wants it as a bugle call that can snap many an office or shop into action. You don't have to put up signs that say, I'm the boss. People know. The authority of personality. The easier it is for the other person to talk to you, to listen to you, or to work with you, the easier he or she will find it to respond to your wishes. And the fourth character is, the fourth component is the authority of character. This component is your credit rating with other people as to your integrity, your reliability, your honesty, your loyalty, sincerity, personal morals, and ethics. You will get more and better from a person who has respect for your character than from one who hasn't. Now, there is the sense that the competence, personality, and character of Jesus. Notice I left out position. Because Jesus didn't go for position. But competence, personality, and character of Jesus allowed him to touch the lives of those who were in the synagogue that day. We might say that all of the pieces of the puzzle came together for them at that point as he was talking. Whereas perhaps the scribes hid behind the laws. But their personality and character did not match the laws. It did not match the people's understanding of what the scriptures were and said. I'm reminded of this sense of the incongruity between what's said and done. Often I have to drive Allison to the Plainfield train station to go to work in the morning. And at a couple of the lights on Watchung Avenue, you have to get over into the right lane to go straight. The left lane turns left. And there have been a bunch of times I've pulled in the right lane to go straight. A police car pulls up on the inside of me, in the inside of the left lane, and it goes straight. The laws are not for them, as my daughter reminds me sometimes, and they lose authority with me. Of course, I won't tell them that if they ever stop me for something. I'll give them the authority of their position. But what is important to note in the exchange with Jesus and the people in the synagogue is that his authority calls out sin. It reaches into the souls of the people and calls that sin that clings so closely out. For it recognizes the power in the authority of Jesus. But you know, it's very interesting. There's another sin in the room that we don't hear about at this stage of the game. The Reverend Sarah Brewer of Dillon's blog writes, "One might think that the scribes would be pleased. If Jesus can defeat the power that had enslaved this man, then perhaps the time had come for God's people to be delivered from all the powers that oppress." There's a problem, though. The system is working reasonably well for them as it is. Perhaps another way of saying it is, for centuries people believed that Aristotle was right when he said that the heavier an object was, the faster it would fall to the earth. Aristotle was regarded as the greatest thinker of all time, and surely he would not be wrong. Anyone, of course, could have taken two objects, one heavy and one light, and dropped them from a great height to see whether or not the heavier object landed first. But no one did, until nearly 2,000 years after Aristotle's death. In 1589, Galileo summoned learned professors to the base of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Then he went to the top and pushed off a 10-pound and 1-pound weight. Both landed at the same instant. The power of belief, however, was so strong that the professor denied their eyesight. They continued to say Aristotle was right. Sometimes what we believe will not allow us to see the new truth, the new understanding. People saw that the personality and the character of Jesus matched what he said and did, and therefore he had the power to touch the lives of people who were suffering. The scribes didn't. So we have to ask ourselves, do we have that power today ourselves? Or is it reserved only for the Son of God? In the Gospel of John, we hear Philip asked to see God, the parent, and Jesus responds in part by saying, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do. In fact, will do far greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." Jesus is saying, you have that power. You have that authority by your belief in me. And if we believe, we can touch people. If we, like Christ, let our lives match what we are saying and what we say we believe. We do have and can have the authority and the power to make a difference in people's lives. You know, there are a lot of people today who walk around saying, "I'm a Christian." And I kind of look at what they say or what they do, and I'm going, I'm not so sure. And I came across a saying that I love. "Don't tell me you're a Christian. Let me figure it out." Don't tell me you're a Christian. Let me figure it out. Let me look at your words and your actions and see if they resonate with what Jesus said and did. And if they do, then yes, I'll say you're a Christian. I'll give you that authority. That is what the people in the synagogue saw, and they figured it out. This person was different than the scribes. This person had authority. This person knows God. When we see people being hurt or oppressed and we do nothing, then our words and beliefs have no authority. Love one another does not create more pain and suffering. Taking up the cross of Jesus does not allow for denigrating others because they don't think like we do. And the list of different things like that can go on and on and on. There is a lot of Christianity being professed that has no authority because it doesn't match the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And yet, our community, our churches, our workplaces, our social circles all need people with the authority who will touch them with the truth and love them and care for them. They need voices of humility that speak of grace and hope. Voices that call them into the fullness of life. Not voices that say, you did wrong. They don't need to hear words of condemnation in the name of Jesus Christ, because that does not resonate with the one that we call the light of the world. And so, we're challenged today. We're challenged to ask, who can we touch? Who can you call into life? You have the credentials in your belief in Jesus. Claim it. This church and the church of Jesus Christ around the world need people to claim those credentials and to share and offer their faith with authority. Will you do it?